direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, so very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. As always, thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Well, this week we are concluding, after a long run, we are concluding our study in the Gospel of John. And today we come to the section where Jesus is recommissioning and resending, if you will, Peter with the purpose for which he had commissioned him to go out and preach the gospel. And I'm not sure we really could begin a new year with a more appropriate passage. Jesus is giving Peter and the disciples a fresh start. He's forgiving them. He's recommissioning them to the purpose for which they are called. The challenge is this: how can they really stay the course? That really is the question that the whole study of John is kind of leaving us with, staying the course. What has this study done for you? Well, I'm hoping that John's gospel has assured, if you're a believer today, assured you of how great the depth is of the love of Christ and what he did to pay for sin and his forgiveness. And if you're not a believer today, I'm hoping that it sincerely convicted you about your need to be saved from the wrath to come, your need for a righteousness that you cannot attain to in this life, and that apart from the person and the work of Jesus Christ, you are empty, cold, and blind. So this has been John's gospel. We have studied Christ now for some time, confronting sin, teaching about his washing power and the life-giving power that he gives. All over John's gospel, he has called us to believe. That's what this study has done. But all of this studying in the doctrines of grace is for a purpose. The purpose is something that Jesus has made very clear to his disciples from when he first called them. Remember his call? Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Three things. Get that? Deny yourself. Be willing to die for him, and let your life be one that is in submission, that follows him. That's his will for you. Now, the study with the disciples has also taught us something. It has taught us a single great truth of what Jesus said in John 15, "Without me, you can do nothing." I'm sure everyone listening today, if you are a sincere Christian, desires in your hearts nothing more than to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. But after this study, knowing your own life, the challenge is simply this: you can't do it. You're just too weak. And at the very end of this study, the Lord is reminding us through the restoration of the disciples that he will continue to give us the strength to be committed to him. But never forget what is before you in John 21. The disciples walked away. They failed. And here they cannot even feed themselves. The Lord has to give them a meal. And it was in the strength of that food that he gives that we fulfill the mission and calling that he has given to us. So what I'm saying is this: it's only the deeply touching grace of Christ in his spiritual food of word and sacrament that strengthens us to be about his calling. That he feeds us with his word, that he feeds us in the supper. And these are the strengthening blessings that he gives us to go forward. So as we start out another year, the Lord has prepared his meal for you, his word. And that word is something that fills us, that spiritually guides us. That's what the psalmist always said. It is a light to our paths. So I want us to see this week that just like the disciples so many years ago, the Lord is renewing the believer in his grace for a year of service in his name. I want you to put yourself here in the shoes of Peter. I want you to see where the strength is to go forward. I want to reorient us to the scene. Jesus focuses in on Peter. Peter had failed awfully. Remember that? The fall was that bad. He had said that whatever happened, he would not deny the Lord. And soon after, he was warming himself over coals of fire with the very ones who would murder Christ. So this was no little failure. Well, last time Jesus met them on the shore, and he revealed himself to them, and he was beginning to reinstate them to their calling to be fishers of men. But the scene must have been really overwhelming. Peter looks up, and on the seashore, there is another scene of coals of fire. And there on it is a meal. Jesus feeds Peter. I love this scene because I can't get away from thinking about the supper. Isn't it something that right after Peter had fallen and felt like giving up, as Christ comes to him, he looks up and there's a meal. There's a meal. What a beautiful picture of grace. Peter was being reminded that the basis of his calling was grace, and that Christ never chose him in the first place thinking that he had it together or that he was strong in himself. The meal was for his strengthening. Peter was to lean on Christ for the strength and grace to fulfill the mission he had been given. And that's where the text turns. It focuses on the complete restoration to their calling. And it was so necessary that Peter might be assured in that calling that Christ had given him. Jesus here draws out the real struggle, though, that was in Peter's heart. I have met people in the Christian faith, in the Christian world, who so struggle with assurance, and their hearts are flooded with so much doubt, they sulk and they do nothing. Jesus has no time for that. This is what we read in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Now Jesus from here is going to do this three times, so we can't miss what the biblical writers want us to see. This is a direct response by Jesus to Peter's denial. If Peter denied Jesus three times, then Jesus will restore him three times. If Peter denied him over a coals of fire, Jesus would restore him over coals of fire. If Peter failed in his mission, Christ was going to strengthen him in that mission. But what is the Lord's main concern here? We see the concern in the way that he speaks to Peter. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" The first thing that Jesus is dealing with is Peter's denial. And Jesus knows how hard the calling is that has been given to Peter. The concern is Peter has failed. And the guilt of it all, Jesus is reading right off his heart. Now, I want you to notice something. Isn't it interesting that Jesus addresses him not as Peter or as Cephas, but as Simon? You remember back in chapter 1 that Jesus said, "No longer shall you be called Simon, but Cephas," which is translated as stone. Notice Jesus is using the name Simon that he had used before he was called Cephas. And you'll remember that in Peter's very confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus first used the name Simon, but then he said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now listen to what Jesus is doing. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Jesus is indicating that he sees that Peter has retreated to the old self. I mean, just in this chapter, he has retreated to his old calling of fishing, not fishers of men, but his old fishing business as he once knew it. Jesus is here acknowledging this. But it was not the truth of the matter. Remember, his calling for Peter had not changed, but here's the challenge. Jesus has far greater things for Peter to do, but he knows that he's setting apart Peter for the most difficult and trying calling he could give to men. As much as a privilege as it is, the fact is nothing is more difficult than to feed the sheep. And Peter is being set apart to minister to a whole bunch of sheep who are weak, who are unsteady, who are dull to the truth, who are sluggish in the faith, and many who are just plain slow and unteachable. Think of the challenge here. Satan brings forward as many causes as he can, many offenses as he can, that he may to destroy or weaken the courage of a good pastor. This is exactly where Peter is. Here is the most discouraged pastor out there, and Peter will not only have to deal with all these other problems of discouraged sheep, of hurting sheep, but Jesus knows the weight of these struggles, causing so much discouragement to himself, will make him feel like giving up. Now that's what this text is about this week. That's what Jesus is dealing with. And remember, this is not here just for Peter and pastors. It's here for you. The same struggle, the same discouragements can make us totally neglectful in what we've been called to do. Jesus is drawing that out. What really amazes me here is how he's doing that. What is the issue that he's using? He's raising the issue of Peter's love for the Lord. And this is such an important point. No one has any drive or any desire to persevere in their calling if the love of Christ does not drive them. But the problem is this. What happens when I have failed in that love? When I have failed so badly? Does that make me now unusable? Does that make me a non-Christian? So what is Jesus doing? Jesus is drawing out of Peter a confession. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? What is Jesus asking? To value, to cherish, to long for. Do you love me, says Jesus, more than these? Now you'll know the context of that. In front of all the disciples, what had Peter said to Jesus? Even if all of these, all of your disciples, all of my fellow companions are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Peter, in pride, had lifted himself up above the rest of the disciples. Lord, even if all are made to stumble, I love you so much, I will never be made to stumble. That was the sense of that statement. And what had happened in the very first denial? The servant girl came to Peter and said, you were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're saying. The one who had said, if all are made to stumble, in the very first denial was doing it in front of all. Jesus begins, do you love me more than these? So Jesus is drawing out a confession right in front of the disciples standing there, right in front of the coals of fire, the very atmosphere in which he had rejected Jesus. Jesus is drawing out of Peter the very thing he had said to him in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. What was Peter's problem? It was pride. A prideful servant will face the biggest fall because there's no conscious awareness of just how dependent that servant is upon the Lord for everything. He had in pride thought he would stand, but he did not take heed how soon he would fall. And soon he would learn that he had no strength in and of himself even to follow the Lord. That had to be confessed. So dear listener, are you a Christian today? Do you follow the Lord? Have you confessed your pride? Jesus says, do you love me more than these? The reality is, it's not that I first loved him, but it's that he first, says John, loved us and gave himself for us. Once that truth gets you, you will begin to respond to his love in a way of obedience and thanksgiving for the grace that you've received. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.